Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Hey, Road Trippin' fans, Homage t-shirts are as ferocious as the dunks or bangouts Richard and Channing throw down from time to time, and their softness can't even be matched. Homage has been turning back the clock with throwback tees for years. From the NBA to the Ultimate Warrior, you know, the tee that LeBron wore on the plane after leading the Cavs to its first title the city had seen in over 50 years. Well, Homage tells the stories of triumph, individualism, and hustle, preserving the old school and creating new legacies. Go to homage.com, that's H-O-M-A-G-E, and pay homage with your favorite tee. Be sure to check out the NBA Jam tees and one exclusively made for me and you. Better yet, three other tees designed specific to the Road Trippin' fam you'll want to check out. We're road tripping at homage.com. Road Trippin' fans, hope you're all enjoying your holiday weekend. We just wanted to drop by, say what's up before things get busy again. That's right, Cleveland Cavaliers back in the NBA Finals for the fourth straight year. And you, of course, know the story. For those who have followed the Cavs all season long, the guys in that locker room will tell you it's been multiple seasons in one. As of last night, being named the 2018 NBA Eastern Conference champs, LeBron James said the sixth season has just completed, and there's only one chapter left. When it comes to this final chapter, however, on one hand, yes, you do have LeBron playing historically beyond belief, embarking on his eighth straight trip to the NBA Finals. And on another, you have guys in that Cavs locker room who will experience it for the first time ever. Guys like Jeff Green, who, if you recall, told his story here on Road Trippin' last November. From the date his life forever changed to now, coming off an epic performance in Game 7 of the Conference Finals inside the TD Garden, JG finds himself in shock, disbelief, in a place that he's been hungry for some time. He says following last night's big win, quote, "I almost lost it all, and to sit here in front of all of you guys and talk about the NBA Finals, I don't take nothing for granted, nothing." End quote. And if his strong performance in Game 7, 19 points, 8 rebounds, and 41 minutes played, isn't perspective enough of the journey he's been on, let's remind you just how grateful he is, told by JG himself.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this. But Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
If people don't know, Jeff Green has a huge...
emotional side of chin.
A huge scar down his chest.
Yeah.
It's crazy looking. But...
jeez,
We're doing talking. It's great, but like... he's playing basketball. He's been playing basketball. How many years has it been?
It's been 5 now.
Okay, so break it down the day that they were like, Jeff, there's something fucked up with your heart.
December 9th.
Right?
I don't remember it all. It was December 9th.
That's coming up.
I signed a one-year contract with Boston. That was the lockout.
Lockout year.
So it was like the 8th. I was like, oh, you know, come up. We signed a contract. Something cool. Right. So I, you know, had to hurry up and pack. Flew to Boston early that morning because we had practice the night. Got in early morning, went straight to the hospital, do my physical, did the stress test, ran on the treadmill. After you run on a treadmill, they lay you on a yep. bed real fast to get the see how the heart is pumping right after exercise. And like 5 minutes goes by, and the doctor's looking at it. And you know, I always look at him, you know, just to you know look at the film, just to be curious. And he's like moving his head, like, yeah, okay. So he's like, I'll be right back. So I'm like, all right.
Oh, that's the worst.
Yeah, that's the worst. It's like, what do you need to room?
Yeah, what do you need to look at? Yeah, this should be regular. Do you need to go to the bathroom?
I see something flickering.
You felt normal?
No, I felt absolutely normal. Okay. No symptoms of having an aneurysm in the valve of my heart. Nothing at all. Like, you usually get shortness of breath, tightness in the chest. You can't really exercise. Chest pains all the time. I had none of that. I was absolutely normal. Working out 2-3 times a day because you never knew when the season was coming. So he comes back in the room with another doctor. And he's the other doctor goes, well, Jeff, you know, he brought me in here because, you know, he sees some abnormal action, you know, going on with your left valve, the Rudy valve, which flickers. It pumps the blood in and out. So I'm like, I don't know. Maybe it's because I'm tired. Cause I didn't sleep the night before because I was trying to hurry up and pack because I was in D.C. at the time. My brother was helping me move to get my stuff to Boston because we had practice. And I didn't sleep the night before. I'm like, maybe I'm just tired. You know, maybe that was it, you know, fatigue. So probably 2 or 3 days goes by and they start shipping the images and the video of the surgery, the action of the heart. Yeah. To different.
Isn't that called the echocardiogram?
Yeah. Yeah. They start shipping it to Michigan University where they have good doctors. And they had a meeting with, you know, all the doctors and said, like, I think it was like the 11th or the 12th. That's when it was like, Jeff, like, you have to have the surgery. So the norm is 3.2. Like just for, you know, normal human walking around.
Injection and fraction rate?
The size of the valve.
Oh,
the root,
the valve. Okay.
The root,
okay.
Yeah. The root of the valve. But mine was at a 4.9.
Whoa.
So they explained it's like, I don't know if you guys seen the image of the LA traffic during Thanksgiving. Like how crazy it is. They said it's like all that traffic going to, roughly going into a one lane highway. It's like all the blood just rushing in. So it was like, you know, because. I played with it for a year, 2 years, not knowing. So they're saying it's like, you know, you can be doing some strenuous activity and the tissue can just rupture. It's like, that's
And that's how an aneurysm happens?
Yeah, so it's like having a heart attack.
Yeah.
But not making it. You know, it's like,
my gosh.
You know, it's tough. But, you know, I had to have the surgery. It was like, it was like a Tuesday. It was like, well, you got to have the surgery if you want to, you know, play again. And it was like, you can have it Thursday. I'm like, hold on, time out. That's 48 hours, brother.
Let me think about it.
Yeah, I was like, I don't know if I can do that on a Thursday, but give me like a month because Christmas is coming up. I was like, let me just go home. It's been actually, I went to on the first road trip to with Boston, went to Miami. And I like went out and I was like, man, I'm gonna go ahead and drink these problems away. And I did that, and I went home.
Yeah.
And then I had the surgery January 9th, and then that process of getting back on the court started. But it was a hard. I would say like the first 2 weeks was very very tough. Did a lot of retail therapy. Spent a lot of money on just trying to take my mind off of it.
How were you able to wait that long? Because you weren't playing?
I had to.
you had to wait?
What you mean, wait, like
when
that
they
month?
Told you, yeah.
That's quick. Well, they wanted
to do surgery 48 hours later. Yeah, so how are you able to wait?
The doctor, Svensson, who did perform the surgery.
Cleveland Clinic?
Yeah, at Cleveland Clinic. Great hospital, by the way. Treated me with a lot of care. It was on his schedule. And he had an opening that Thursday or the 9th of January.
I can't rush it in two days.
Yeah. So I waited a month. And by the time it came around, I was, you know, already ready to just get it over with.
What's up, Road Trippin' fans? Even though Richard and Channing are no longer with the Cavs, they'll always be looked at as either an old married couple or teammates for life. Uninterrupted and State Farm are getting together to bring you The Sixth Sense, where NBA teammates like Victor Oladipo and Miles Turner show how they get each other like no other, the way RJ and Channing do here on Road Trippin'. Check out the latest episode of The Sixth Sense on youtube.com/uninterrupted, and maybe you can get a teammate off the court that gets you too.
Did you have to have the surgery to play again or just to survive in life? Like, did you contemplate not ever playing again because you didn't want the surgery?
You got to. Yeah, because it was like, because at first I was like, oh, am I going to be able to play again? I was like, yeah, but, you know, it'll be a lot of stress, you know, to get back. And I was like, oh, that's cool. I can deal with that with trying to work out and get back.
Mm-hmm.
But will everything be fine? And he was like, oh, yeah, you'll be fine. But, you know, you know, it's like starting all over again, or all over again. Like, you know, I literally started from scratch. Like,
The
conditioning.
In terms of your cardio and stuff?
Yeah. Like walking, like everything. Like walking from, you know, from here to this. Well, people can't say, but it's probably like 5 feet. Like, yeah, 10 feet. Like, it took me like 30 minutes to do that. Just to walk.
My wife
was
beat me in a push up contest. I could only do 10.
Because you.
I had to take time off.
You had a same.
It took a year off.
You had a similar condition?
No. Mine was way less than that. Way less than that.
Yeah.
Okay. Like just, okay, so initially just as dangerous, but then they found out that I'm actually like 0.001% of like a lot of people where.
It's just enlarged?
Yeah, it's an enlarged heart, okay. But they're just like, that's just me. And then, so when you have like. The condition, the blood pools at the bottom, mm-hmm. and that's how you get strokes and stuff like that. So basically my injection fraction, your heart sucks in the blood and then spews it back out to your body. Mm-hmm. But what happens is the valves that squeeze and pump don't squeeze all the blood out. So imagine you're constantly putting more blood in and it starts to flutter because it can't get all of it out.
Yeah, so that's what they thought I had.
Yes.
That's why it took so many days before they determined whether or not I had to have the surgery.
So,
and the surgery was what for you, Jeff? What was it? Open heart surgery?
It was open. Like, open. They took a chainsaw to my chest and opened up every... I have a picture.
No,
I have a picture. I do have a picture in DC because I was curious. I wanted to.
Oh yeah.
I wanted to see your like body. What it actually looked like.
Oh dude, I would barf.
Should we use this for social media? I'm kidding.
It's not a picture of like me laying on the table like with my chest open. It's a picture of like a brief like small picture of inside. So it looks like seafood, by the way.
Looks like a lobster roll.
I can't wait for the comments after that one.
This is grossing me the fuck out.
It was.
Were you going for dinner, Channing?
No, I don't even matter.
Legal seafood? Legal seafood?
No.
The Oyster House.
It was the you know full everything like chainsaw to the chest plate and open it up and. You know, surgery.
And yours was what?
So I didn't have to go through surgery. The only surgery I had to do was get a...
You had to get the visual through the groin,
yes,
right?
Yes, where they pumped my heart full of adrenaline.
Yeah.
They said they pumped it up to 200. So they were like, no lie, we had to get your heart. We've never seen somebody's heart. Like, so basically my heart, when it's not... Like, yes.
Yeah.
So basically when my heart is just chilling, it's super lazy. And you would say it walks with a limp. Right?
Your heart?
Yeah. Because it just kind of like, it doesn't have to work. But the minute I start running, that sucker kicks in the gear and it's all good. And then when it's coming down, it's like.
You get the palpitations. The
all that. So when I went in there, so I had shoulder surgery, was rehabbing, and came back and did like your regular test right after Labor Day. It was working out and got off the thing. And I see the guy, and he's looking at that piece of paper on the echocardiogram, and he's like, red, red, red. So I'm like, oh, is that good? He's like.
Oh, you said it's that? I didn't say
yeah,
same.
Yeah. I was like, is
so
that good?
What's going on over there?
So he looks at me. He's like, how do you feel? I was like, oh, I'm fine. And, you know, I looked at the screen. The screen's a tiny little screen. Anybody's ever got it done. And basically the part that looks like a fish's mouth that opens and closes wasn't even like halfway closed before it opened up again. So I was like. well, that doesn't look like what it's supposed to look like. And the nurse was really calm. She's like, Channing, it's going to be fine. And I said, oh, nobody's ever told me that. Is it that bad? And the guy goes, and the doctor was like, I'll be right back. Again, goes and gets four doctors. Yeah. And they were like, Channing, this is not good. You can't, because I was like, can I go home? They were like, no, we got to give you an emergency MRI, right? So they had stick
the one that
dye.
Makes you feel like you pee on yourself?
Yes.
Yeah, that's the worst.
What?
Dude, so here's the deal. I hadn't eaten before. I had to do this running test. So now they're trying to find a vein. Now, small veins, the guy had to go through my arm, my bicep. I don't know if anybody's ever got a needle in their bicep.
That's the worst. That's why I don't like needles today because
the
of
worst.
The surgery.
Yes, the worst. Worst. But he missed because he was on his lunch and he hit a nerve and it made my ring finger on my right hand numb for 4 days. So I bent the needle. Mind you, I cussed him out. I was already mad. I was like, you motherfucker, what are you doing? You fucking kidding? They're like, Channing, what? You know, finally, they had to bring in, what's those things do when you pregnant people with a sonogram?
I've never been pregnant.
I don't know. Well, they had to find a vein that way.
Wrong question.
And they had to bring in like this super special nurse that was like, whoop, got it done. That was horrible. And then they were like, yeah, Channing, we're going to send this off to so-and-so. They were like, don't stress. Mm-hmm. Don't run. Don't exercise. Yeah. Just sit down, and you can't leave for the next week. You can't get on an airplane. I was like, I have to go back and see my family. They're like, no. No more of that.
That's the worst for somebody to be like, don't stress. You'd be like, what are you stressing already?
So I was like, well, I can't
work helping.
Out. Yeah. He goes, you're not helping the cause.
Channing, not only can you not work out, I don't know if you'll ever play basketball again.
Ooh.
And then he like, oh, but I have to go. And so like, I'm like trying to tell my wife, my friends this, and I'm like flipping out. So I'm in Phoenix by myself. Luckily, my boys are there. I'm from there. And just a whole 6 months of dealing with the team doctor. Finally, I went to Portland, saw a great guy up there who'd seen this a lot with a lot of like marathon runners, cyclists, soccer players are big, like long distance guys.
Yeah.
And he was like, listen, go to Johns Hopkins, which is one of the best hospitals next to Cleveland Clinic, but it's in the most hood spot I've ever been in my life.
Johns Hopkins.
In Baltimore?
Oh, yeah. That's where I went. My freshman year, that's where it first came up. I went there. And I don't know. I never been like that up in Baltimore like that. And that was the first place I went to where it was red flagged about my heart.
Yeah.
But it wasn't as serious.
No. Yeah.
But the doctor I saw there, he passed away like years after that. So I couldn't get the information from him.
Dude, crazy. Yeah, they had like a team of like six people because they were like, the NBA called. It was like, hey, this is a special case. He thinks he's better. Tell us, can he play or not? So it was literally up to like not only them, but like the NBA. Like, so basically the NBA like hires out a professional, someone in New York, and it was up to them to talk and like decide. You should see my medical report was like a Bible. Oh, it was like a Bible. How many times I had to take those MRIs, how many times I had to run, how many tests I had to go through just to hoop. I was so mad. I was more like, I've got this far. Like you were talking about working out. Imagine taking 6 months and not being able to exercise.
Do nothing yet.
Oh, I was huge.
See, this is what bothers me. So I had the surgery.
Yeah.
I came back the next year. You know, you had to sit out for a year.
Yeah.
Heart problems. You don't get the credit like you should. Like you got guys, I mean, not knocking anybody from, you know, coming back from injury, but like we had to deal with heart problems. Like that's like something the NBA does not cover.
No.
And
oh, really?
Yeah, they do not. So, I mean, that's life or death.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We had to deal with that and we come back and play. You know, how many years have you been?
Six.
So it was before mine?
Yeah, it was so after yours.
Was it after,
after
Chuck Hayes?
Yes.
Chuck did the same thing.
So maybe five.
Yeah, probably four? The same year almost.
After. It was after you.
So it was probably four.
Yours was at the beginning of the year. I think mine was that next summer.
Okay.
Yeah, but listen, here's the deal. We had the heart issue, and then you have the summer to get in shape from zero to be in NBA shape.
Yeah.
Right?
And
so
you can't train for NBA shape.
No, you cannot.
You can do all the running.
I don't
you
do
can't
nothing.
Train for NBA shape.
Or just not playing basketball for that long. Yeah. Like, The first, and I was determined. It was like, this is how stubborn I am. The first training camp practice, I was like, I'm not getting a sub. I'm going to be in every line, and I'm going to make sure that these fools see
how hard I worked. 3 days after that.
People don't know this. Now they know. I ice bath for like an hour. An hour afterwards. They were like, it is amazing. He hadn't done anything, and he made it through the first, you know, training camp practice. And I was like, yeah, I did. The next day, I was like, come get me. Sub.
Yeah, it was
sub. I was so sore.
Are those like the things that you're talking about? You guys don't get credit?
Yeah. Like that year was probably the hardest. Yeah, I hit a wall. Like,
oh,
you can ask the trainer, Brian Dew. I had to stop lifting and practicing for about a week because I was so tired. I remember after a game, I literally went to my locker and just sat there for about an hour because I was so tired. Yeah, like, my body was just done.
So you had surgery January 9th. When was the next time you played?
Played 5-on-5?
Yeah. No, played a game.
Played a game, like yeah. NBA game.
October.
Yeah. Yeah, October.
Oh, the following year.
Yeah,
okay.
I didn't work out until probably July.
is this where your relationship with T. Lou started when you came back to play, or you had already worked with him?
Yeah, that was when because he was assistant under Doc. So when I came back, that he was my go-to coach as far as development. That's how we created that bond, and we got close over that time.
Is he the same guy still?
Same guy, very calm, male manner. Just, you know, yeah, man. I'm good, man. You know, just tired. Man, just tired. Man, why don't you just go to sleep? I can't sleep. Yeah, you know, I can't sleep. I get home, man. I'm just always up.
Yeah,
something's wrong with you. But he's the same guy. That's, you know, I give him a lot of credit. I mean, it's in this business, you have guys who change when they get a certain position, but he's always been the same. Very upfront. You know, it keeps it real, which he tells you the truth, and that's what you want out of a guy, especially in this business. So
yeah.
That's why I think we, stayed close.
Did you ever think that you would play for him as a head coach?
No, I did not. I did not. But I'm glad that he did call.
Yeah.
I'm glad that he did call. It shocked me when he did call because I didn't think the Cavs were interested. I was just driving home, and he just called me. Right, I was like, I didn't have his number. I was like, and I normally don't answer numbers. He called me like twice. And I was like, hello. He's like, Jeff, man, what's up? I'm like, who is this? He's like, it's T. Lou, man. What you doing? I'm like, driving home. I was like, what's up? He's like, look, man. Why'd you come to Cleveland? I was like, for real. Like, yeah, man, I'm serious. Like, man, I think you'd be good for us. You know, we got a good group of guys, good locker room.